Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I hate the Romans. I hate them. They are vile and disgusting, and I know I shouldn't be talking like this because Jesus tried to teach us to love, but I'm just being honest with you. Forgive me, it's been a whirlwind of a week, and my emotions are not right, and I'm not thinking straight. I haven't slept in hours, but I hate the Romans. I hate them. I resent them with every ounce of my being. They are ruthless. They're pagan. They are vile. They are, after all, the reason why we're here in the first place. They had Jesus arrested. They had him arrested. Beaten. He's bloodied. They made him carry his own cross. I hate the Romans. I hate them. Pontius Pilate, the prefect of Judea. I have nothing good to say about him. The emperor Tiberius, Caesar Augustus, I loathe them. I want to spit upon them. I hate the Romans. I despise them with everything that's within me. What gives them the right to tax our people as excessively as they do? They squeeze everything from us. Why? For what? To live in their lavish palaces and to live their exuberant lifestyles? To fund their military campaigns? Oh, the Romans. They never stop. They want to continue to invade countries and territories. What gives these authoritarian dictators the right to just want to invade territories and invade lands and upend and uproot innocent people who just want to live in peace? It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. I hate the Romans. They've oppressed our people for too long. Blood boils. What gives them the right to oppress us? What gives them the right to push us around? We just want to live in peace and tranquility. And they had Jesus arrested. He was no harm to anyone. He posed no threat to their regime. I know I shouldn't be speaking this way, but my heart aches. They've taken Jesus. They've crucified him. And I'm at a loss for words. We all are. They're tyrants. How has it come to this? Oh, I remember when Jesus told us that he must die. We all heard the words that he spoke. We didn't understand them at the time. But he repeatedly said, I must be killed. And here our Lord is on the cross, hanging, dying at the hands of those hated, reviled Romans. Maybe Peter was right. Maybe Peter was right. Just a few hours ago, we were on the other side of the Kidron Valley where Jesus was praying. And then Judas, oh Judas, we knew he was up to something. We just didn't quite understand what he was up to. But Judas came while Jesus was praying, while we were sleeping. And he brought with him some Roman soldiers and some servants of the high priest of Caiaphas. They're in with the Romans. They're all in cahoots together. And you know what Peter did? Peter brought out his sword and he swung it. Maybe he was right. Maybe we should have all just swung our swords. Oh, the Romans would have killed us, but maybe we would have left a mark. Maybe Peter was right. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe we can still attack the Romans and at least die wanting our freedom. The prophets of old, they foretold. They foretold of a time when our people would live in peace and prosperity. The prophet Isaiah, he said, "My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." And we believe Jesus was the one to help usher in such peace and rest. And now he hangs dying on a cross. Maybe Peter was right. Maybe we should draw up arms and at least show the Romans we will fight for what we believe in. But then Jesus, he said to Peter, he said, "Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." Maybe right now I just want to die by the sword. Oh, my heart is broken. Jesus, he lived with us for 3 years. He taught us. He discipled us. He talked about the way of the kingdom of God. We didn't understand it all, and now I certainly don't understand all this. Who knows how much longer Jesus has on the cross? He's dying. He's gasping for air. He's trying to speak. He's trying to speak, but I doubt he'll be able to say anything. You can see he's suffering. You can see he's dying. We just don't know what to do. Oh, Jesus, what are we to do? We trusted you. I left everything to follow you, Jesus. Quiet, everyone. Jesus is trying to speak. You can see he's trying to speak. I wish all the crying and the weeping and the... Everyone be quiet. Jesus is trying to speak. Maybe he can say something. Let's listen. What is he trying to say? Jesus, speak. We're listening. What is it you're trying to say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh my God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh my God, I am undone. I'm unworthy. I'm ashamed. Jesus speaks these words on the cross, words of forgiveness from the cross. I must forgive from down here below. Father, forgive them for what they've done. I guess it doesn't surprise me that Jesus would speak these words from the cross. He's been speaking of forgiveness all along. Jesus taught us that we must love our enemies. And when he began to speak like that, we were baffled. Love our enemies. How can we love our enemies? But he insisted. He said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It doesn't make sense to us. But Jesus seemed to understand what we were struggling with because he said to us, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Yes, that's what we were taught. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I hate the Romans. I hate them. But then Jesus said, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." I, I have to admit, we did not understand what Jesus really meant by all that. But he spoke of love and forgiveness. And then Jesus, he would teach us things like, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Yes, I'm all for that. We must hit the Romans. They hit us, we must hit them back. But then Jesus would go on and say, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. He said things like, if anyone slaps you on the cheek, turn also the other cheek. But here Jesus is praying for forgiveness upon those who would do such things to him. I guess it wouldn't surprise me that he would pray for such a thing from the cross. God. I remember one time Peter went up to Jesus, and he must have struggled with forgiveness, because in one of those times when Jesus was teaching us about forgiveness, Peter went up to our Lord and he said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And you know what Jesus responded to Peter? You know what he said to Peter? It didn't make sense to me, but he said, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. I guess I see what Jesus is meaning now, that he, in his moment of death, would forgive those who even put him there in the first place. I struggle with forgiveness. Peter had to forgive others, but I had to forgive Peter. He was always putting his foot in his mouth and saying things he shouldn't have said. I had to struggle with forgiving my father Zebedee. He was a good man, but he was a hard man. He pushed James and I. He pushed us to be the best, and sometimes I resented him, but I've had to learn to forgive him. And James, oh, he's my brother. He's my flesh and blood. I love him, but I've had to learn to forgive him as well, too. I wouldn't have had Jesus not taught me about forgiveness. One time, as we watched Jesus pray, and he was a man of prayer, we went up to him and we said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And in that prayer that he taught us to pray, he taught us to pray, forgive those who trespass against us. And now the first words that we hear from Jesus on the cross is a cry of forgiveness against those who have hung him there in the first place. Oh God. Jesus taught us about forgiveness while we were with him, but now he's truly modeling forgiveness for us. What's that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? It went something like this. Our Father. Yes, he taught us to begin our prayer, our Father who art in heaven. This is what Jesus just said. He said, Father, forgive them. I've never known anyone such as Jesus who had such intimate union and closeness with the Father. Maybe that's the key. On the cross, his first words are, Father, he taught us to pray, our Father. Maybe that's the key. It's our relationship to the Father that will give us the strength to forgive those who hurt us, sin against us, do evil against us. Maybe it's prayer to the Father that will give us the strength, even as I see Jesus hanging on the cross, as he's dying with strength to endure such pain. That's the key. I pray to the Father. We pray to the Father to give us the strength to endure as well. Oh God. Oh God, if Jesus could pray, forgive them, for they know not what they do on the cross. Give me the same strength. Give me the same ability, Father, to forgive those who have put Jesus there, to forgive those who have wronged my people, to forgive those who continue to do harm and evil and push their evil agendas. Oh God, give me the same strength that you give Jesus to endure the hardships and the sufferings and the pain. Oh God, help me also to forgive.
Thank you.
to the old rugged cross, but we want to cling to every word that Jesus said as he hung on the cross. Words that model for us what it means to follow after Christ. And as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion, which we will take every Sunday through the season of Lent through Palm Sunday, we read the words of the Apostle Paul, that on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So we prepare our hearts to enter into the sufferings of Christ, to emulate him, to forgive, even as he prayed for forgiveness as he was crucified. Lord, we will partake in Holy Communion today because first and foremost, we recognize we are sinners. We need the redeeming work of Jesus Christ to save us, to make us whole, to offer us salvation, to give us eternal hope. Jesus did not die in vain, but he died for a purpose, so that we might live. And so first and foremost, we recognize that we are sinners in need of God's grace and forgiveness. But also, Lord, we take Holy Communion because we need your power and your strength to then forgive those who hurt us, betray us, and wrong us. For they truly do not know the extent of what they do. Give us the strength and the ability to forgive others, even as Jesus forgave those who put him on the cross. The message of Christianity is very different than the world, because the world, in many ways, still says, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But those of us who truly want to follow Jesus, not only in his life, but in his crucifixion and in his resurrection must learn to follow in his ways. And so, Lord, in this moment, as we prepare our hearts for communion, we receive your forgiveness by faith. And in our hearts, between ourselves and you, may we forgive those who we've been holding on to, that hurt, that grudge, that pain, that brokenness. And we release them into your care. And we say, God, I forgive so and so. I forgive this person. I forgive that person. I choose to forgive, for God in Christ has forgiven me. Amen. So we will partake in Holy Communion. You do not need to be a member of our church to take Holy Communion. We just ask that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Row by row, on this side, you come and receive the elements over here. And row by row, you come and this section, come and receive the elements here. As you receive the elements, take them back to your seats and hold on to them, and we will take the elements together. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.